I was fascinated to discover, Roy, that you're being honored as part of the, is it called Italy LA, the Italian thing? I didn't know that you guys had Italian ancestry, but that's wonderful.
I guess you have to go pretty far back to find the Italian ancestry, but
maybe you have a trace of it way back when. I mean, how pure is the Irish bloodline in the Kennedy family?
Well, it's pretty pure. I actually went back in June and went on a discovery of our roots, and there's lots of both Kennedy and Skakel.
Yeah, right.
They go pretty far back and are pretty solidly based in Ireland, mm-hmm. as it turns out.
What parts of Ireland have you visited? I just wanted to share, I visited Knocklong and Cork and Limerick and that area, Shannon. Hey. Did you go down there? Have you been
We were in New Ross, which is where the Kennedy family came from.
Okay.
And then we were in Limerick, and then we went south.
Mm-hmm.
And went through Cork, we went through to this island called Skellig Michael,
mm-hmm.
where all the puffins live.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool, and it has a monastery at the top of basically just this, it's like a rock island, that was built in like the 13th century anyway, it's pretty far back. So we kind of explored that territory, and it was pretty fantastic. We went with our three children in June, and we were there for 10 days. It didn't rain a drop while we were there, uh-huh. and it was beautiful. And we went back and looked at all these kind of heritage, our family heritage, and it was pretty fascinating.
I love doing all that. I mean, I swear to God, the first... I don't think I have very much Irish in me. I think it's pretty much an English ancestry. But my very, very first thought when I started driving around in Dublin and heading west towards Galway was that I could die here. There's something very strong and very calming, soothing about that land and about the vibe over there. It's a lovely, lovely place.
Yeah, no, we really enjoyed it, and it was nice. I mean, there were some really great stories about Jack coming back there, mm-hmm. when he did one of his trips to Europe, when he had actually gone to Berlin and
right.
gave his famous speech there, and Jackie always said it was four of the happiest days of his life.
Mm.
He went there, and when he died, she sent... he had a rosary on him,
mm-hmm.
and she sent the rosary back to New Ross,
right.
to the town, and it's now there's a little museum there, and he always was really impressed with the kind of government run music performers, and he always wanted to bring them to the United States.
PBS engaged you to do this documentary, and you looked into it, and you figured there was something you could definitely, bring to it. How long altogether did it take you to arrive at a cut that you were completely, you knew you had something?
It was 14 months.
Okay. And that process involved what? Did you have some kind of cut that you started showing to people, or what's your process in knowing that you've made the best film that you possibly can? How do you figure it out?
Schedule and a budget, so that's a significant factor. I mean, you know, I will occasionally go over on either if need be, if I really feel like the film's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's some kind of inherent restrictions to with just the budget that you're dealing with, and how much time you can continue to edit and shoot and whatnot. So
right.
that, I would say that's sort of the kind of overarching
mm-hmm.
Determinant. But of course, there's sort of just the feeling of. I mean, I look through a cut, and I only lock it when I feel like I can watch the whole thing through and don't have any more notes.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I got to that point, you know, where I felt like it was locked.
Yeah.
There was, and, you know, I feel pretty, I mean, there are very few changes I would make.
Mm.
There's one that I noted the other night that otherwise I don't really have a lot of, I feel pretty good about it.
Right. You know, it's funny, most people that in my circle, if you will, are, you know, the accepted view, if you will, is that it was quite the tragic episode for our country, and I think I told you that in visiting the Hanoi Film Festival in 2012, that I was wondering and asking myself about the tragic deaths of so many young men from this country, and I looked out at this sea of people in their tuxedos and everybody promoting film and you know, the same basic climate you'd find in Sundance or Cannes or anywhere else, and these people were basically all here on this earth. I mean, things change. It just seems such a terrible tragedy, and yet, I felt so touched by the human element in your film, the compassion, the importance of standing up for your friends, and even at the risk of incurring some problems in terms of your career or whatever. I just thought that the bravery and the humanity just rings out, and it made me look at the war in a different light.
Well, that's an awfully nice thing to say. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think for me, learning about these events, I think like so many other people, I felt like I knew what had happened, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just sort of part of our awareness. But then I, you know, when I started really unearthing these kind of stories and what happened on the Kirk and at the embassy, and you know, I was so blown away by it.
Yeah.
And particularly, and what, you know, really always drew me was the personal stories that I was reading about, and that was ultimately where what I veered towards in the telling of this. There are a lot of different ways to tell the story of what happened during those final days, and you can focus on politics, you could focus on the history, you know, focus on Washington, all of which are fascinating and important. But ultimately, you know, I think like you, I was sort of drawn to these human stories, and that's what was so overwhelming to me and powerful and felt relevant and, you know, really spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so beyond whatever your interest is in Vietnam or history, you know, I think it can transcend that and kind of a more universal theme about human nature.
You know, it's fascinating. When you were speaking to the New York Times, Larry Roeder, you mentioned to him that you have been to campuses with this film, and that you noticed that a lot of people in undergrads just aren't studying Vietnam, and there's a...
Unbelievable.
They actually have... the way you put it is that they have no knowledge of the war. I mean, I found that shocking.
I mean, many of them said that they studied it in their history class for one day. Maybe one day.
Hmm.
And, you know, like one kid said that at NYU and everybody else nodded.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, you know, at I went to Columbia, NYU, Florida State University, campuses in here in L.A.
Right.
And, I mean, that was absolutely the consensus.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's funny, well, not funny, obviously, I guess the thought all along was that the PBS wanted you to have this done so it would be in the conversation and the people in the culture, you know, kicking it around for the upcoming, soon-to-be-here 40th anniversary of the final departure of all U.S. forces in April of 75. What day exactly was that in April?
It was April 29th, 1975.
Okay. And your film, of course, will begin to screen or show on PBS that month. What day in April again, Rory?
April 28th.
Okay, the day before, so that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've mentioned to you, and it's too bad, but you have indicated to me that the government over there is probably never going to be very receptive to showing this film, but I'll bet if, and I know it's probably a dream, but if your film were to show, I know that it would resonate, you know, because there's a whole...
Yes, I mean, I think, and there's so many Vietnamese who are in this country who really, really wanted to get over there to their family and the community there, and, you know, I just actually got an email yesterday, because I felt that, well, at least it will get over there on the internet, but I guess there's actually concerns that if you watch it, if you're in country and you watch it on the internet, that the government monitors that and that there'll be consequences if you do.
Really?
That's what I, you know, I have no way to confirm that that's true. I can just tell you that I did get an email saying that.
Well, as your chief competitor for the best foreign documentary feature reminds us, the NSA in our country is monitoring everybody doing everything. So I guess it's not that crazy to imagine that the Vietnamese government is doing the same thing to its citizens.
Yeah, well, and that, you know, we at least have the freedom of the press in this country, so there's a lot, you know, you can do all sorts of things that you can't do in other countries, as we all know. So I think that's the reality they're facing, which is that you can watch these things and then really actually face consequences.
Wow, that's a chilly thought. When you talk to people, when I've been there, as I've told you twice, when you talk to people, particularly younger people, particularly, you know, early 20s, kids that are recently gotten married, you know, that everybody lives together in the same home. The grandparents, the great-grandparents, the parents, the kids, everybody's together. They all have the same living arrangement. And I got to know this guy. And they're all into iPhones. They want to see all your tech, you know. That's all that's... They're totally like anybody in Idaho or Virginia or anywhere. It's all... Everybody's the same these days. And the whole idea of ideological separations, you know, it's just not existing anymore, which is why it's... I just think that we're all part of a big family these days that transcends nations and flags, you know.
Well, that's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, so you're, I guess once it's on the air and you've done your final Last Days in Vietnam interviews in April, what are you moving on to? Have you thought about something?
You know, I have a few ideas, but I'm not sure what I'm going to jump into next. I think I'm going to let the dust settle with all this, you know, that we're working on now and sort of figure it out. But these films, I really try to do one film at a time, and you know, it takes a certain amount of energy and commitment, and so I sort of have to really figure out which one. I mean, there are a lot of ideas I'm excited about, but you gotta, you know, really feel committed to spend a few years on it. I mean, the making of the film is one thing, and then of course there's the film comes out, and that's its own level of investment, all of which is really wonderful and satisfying, but you know, you just got to make sure it's the right project. So there have been a number of projects that have come in front of me, but I haven't quite figured out the one that I'm gonna, that I really want to jump into yet.
You know, you have an instinct, as is obvious, anybody who's seen your documentary about your mom and about this, you have an instinct for what connects emotionally, which is a good instinct that any strong filmmaker should have. And it just struck me that perhaps you have thought about not necessarily staying within the documentaries, that perhaps you might want to direct a feature at some time?
Yeah, maybe. I would be very open to that. I mean, I love, love, love documentaries, so, and I'm really passionate about it, but I would also be interested, you know, in telling stories through a different medium, potentially. So that's something I would consider as well.
Because as I say, you know, there's some filmmakers that just don't think emotionally the way you obviously do. I mean, I can feel you in these movies. It really comes through, and it's... And that's what people respond to when they see a film. They want to be able to feel something and share something.
I've always felt that's the power. That is the single most kind of transcending power of documentary, and and how it can deliver in ways that, you know, an article or even a book can't necessarily. I mean, I think it has such potential for reaching such a broad audience, and then I think you can really transport people in an emotional way.
Yeah.
And that can alter, you know, significantly the way they understand something.
Right.
In ways that I think can be really meaningful.
Hmm. Are you going to, let me see, totally forgetting, are you going to be at the Spirit Awards? Were you nominated for them also? I can't remember.
I was not.
You weren't?
Well, I was not.
Why would that be? Because of the PBS thing? Or I don't understand that. Why would that have happened?
I did some off-the-record insight into how that happened,
okay.
But I'm happy to talk to you off the record
okay.
about it, but
okay.
I don't really want it on the record.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Which is basically, I think there was one person who didn't,
okay.
just was really adamant and didn't want this film to be recognized. I don't know why, but it was, that's what I was told.
Okay.
So, but, you know, and hanging out with them.
I quite liked and was quite energized by the Nina Simone doc.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. I saw your review of that. So I'm glad you got in. I'm sorry if I guess the PR team didn't get back to you and it was hectic because we were flying in that.
Well, from what I understood, that evening was purely just a fundraiser and that it was not about, you know, journalists showing up. It was purely about people who were interested in taking part in this thing at the Stein Erickson after the screening.
Oh, yeah, I didn't go to that. So there was another smaller after party for Nina Simone.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then there was a bigger, there's the Artists at the Table event, which is just a fundraiser.
Right, okay.
Which I've gone to in years past, and, you know, it's a nice event, but it's not something I would necessarily, I don't think you miss so much.
What do your kids think of the film? You have two kids or three kids?
Three children, and two of them have seen it. My youngest is 7 years old, so he seems a little young. He's seen part of it, but they both loved it.
Mm.
My two girls, Bridget and Georgia.
So at least they are engaged with Vietnam. I mean, it's I'm just still getting over that one about college age. Not quite.
I know it's
I don't know what to do
stunning.
With that.
It's disturbing.
Yeah.
I think we, maybe we don't like to teach about wars that we didn't win.
Maybe. In any case, it was awfully nice speaking to you again, and I am hoping that things work out for you, and if nothing else, it's quite an honor to be nominated, and I think everybody should respect your achievement and see and make a point of seeing your film.
So. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you. You've been great, and I appreciate all your support all along.
Okay. Have a nice day, and we'll talk soon.
We'll see you around.
Be around.